Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way, "Who is the greatest?" Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he should be last of all and servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." Today's gospel tells us about the end of the public teaching in Mark's account of the ministry of Jesus. Now chapters 9 and 10 will focus on the training of the disciples. Jesus speaks of the extraordinary suffering that he will have to endure. The disciples clearly do not understand what he's talking about, and Mark increases the tension in the story by contrasting the story of the Son of Man with the pettiness of the apostles' concerns over what's in it for them and who is the greatest among them. Jesus lovingly corrects them and takes a child, a person who is not so much innocent as we might presume today, but one who is totally without status in that society. And this becomes an example of one who would be last and the servant of all. This description of the strengths and vulnerability of the minister, this authenticity, is something people can count on in our cynical and secular society. As one who is involved in training people for ministry, I'm especially touched by Jesus' concluding statement, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." Earlier this year in the Lenten season, I chose a theme for my Lenten time. I was interested in things that caused me to change. I came up with three: telling the truth, beauty, and friendship. So I went to a number of museums in Lent, and this was really a great idea. I raised a sensitive issue in my community as far as truth-telling is concerned, but the jury's still out on that. Then, through the summer, I was able to make that necessary phone call, answer a letter, and even visit an old friend. How very rewarding that has been. I find that when our friendships have a spiritual dimension, it simply changes everything. Our Catholic Church is just emerging from 10 years when sexual misconduct on the part of the clergy held center stage. While such purification is necessary and welcome, it could cause ministers to become overly cautious and remote. As I work with seminarians, priests, and sisters, I'm delighted to see so many dedicated people with a good measure of common sense and deep and generous affection for the people they serve. They approach the people that they serve with the openness, affection, even the joy that this child has come to assume in gospel lore. What impresses me most is how our lay people react to such ministers of the gospel. You can see this in a healthy parish setting where people are so responsive to a joyful proclamation of the gospel. They're anxious to offer support and friendship to one who comes among them to serve with that freedom and gospel vulnerability that Jesus is suggesting in today's gospel. It's a rather exciting challenge that each of us, at every level of our following of Jesus, can bless one another with that kind of openness and friendship, so that the name which we find most convincing and beautiful in all of life, the name Jesus, the perfect reflection of the Father's love, might be communicated to our brothers and sisters in their need and in their joy. Our fascination with the one who sent me can lead us to the richest experiences of life. Throughout the summer, I've been especially aware of the joyful goodness of our people as they reach out to support young men and women that I work with as they prepare to serve them as priests, sisters, and brothers. As I traveled this summer, I was shocked to see that in many cities, the newspapers have been reduced to collections of local shopping coupons and a few opinions off the wire, as they say. This demise of journalism is just one more symbol that any kind of objectivity, respected or trusted authorities, shapers of values or truths, have just been replaced by random opinions of the moment. And this is simply not good enough. So it's all the more encouraging to see modern disciples of Jesus who are willing to risk their lives in an absolute commitment to learn God's ways and then test the truth of their efforts in the bonds of friendship. The response of our good people is a blessing and recognition of the value of a life that seeks to unite people with the very life of God. I can't think of a more worthwhile or exciting adventure.